football on off the ball.
For Arsenal, it's a sickener. I mean, there was a lot of optimism, wasn't there, around that? You know, you could see the fans getting excited. I saw some footage from the Box Park of the fans really getting on it. City, their old hands are going to Wembley.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Irish football
on Off the Ball,
brought to you by Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams.
This is News Talk.
Okay, today we are celebrating an expanded Off the Ball partnership with Cadbury's, delivering bigger international coverage across the men's and women's teams, fresh podcast content, and of course the return of Coy Gig and the advent of the green scene. I'm delighted to be joined by former Ireland international Glenn Whelan. Glenn, you're very welcome to studio. Thanks very much for popping into us. What do we think? What's the excitement levels with you? And is this the start of something really special for this group of players?
Yeah, I think so. We're hoping so. It comes around quick, doesn't it? You think about 5 months ago, the two games and how special it felt to be in this position. And now all of a sudden it's real. It's squads announced and you're a week out from now one of the biggest games that group will play. And now listen, if they bring the belief and the confidence that they showed in November, then now it's the camp that I'd want to be in is the Irish one. There's no real pressure. We're away from home and oh, please God, they can just go out and now make the country proud again.
Yeah, I suppose the big news other than the squad being named, of course, is that Himerhal Grimson has extended his contract with the Republic of Ireland until at least the 2028 Euros. Is this the right time for that to be announced? Is this the right decision as well to extend Hal Grimson's contract?
Yeah, no, listen, I don't think it's the decision is probably the right one because of what he's done, he's achieved, maybe what he set out to do was, I don't think we were ever going to be favourites to go and win the group and get to the World Cup automatically. But what I would say is probably the time, and not for the manager, I just think it's the backlash if things don't go well next week. It gives a headline for the newspapers, the radios to come back out, and now it's another story there. But now listen, he's achieved what probably was set out to be for the last camp, was to get to the playoffs. So now fingers crossed he can go and get the right results in two games, and now then it's all deserved. But now for me, it's probably the time isn't probably not just right, but I'm not sure that's down to him. I don't think he would have wanted that to come out himself either. But listen, it's done and dusted now. It should be all about this squad and the players for now the team against Czech.
Yeah, so I suppose after the games in November, we've actually all had a really long amount of time, it seems, and to kind of look forward to this match. As players, like when you're playing for your club, is the Ireland games at the back of your mind always? And are you kind of thinking, okay, you've got your club games, you're thinking week to week, you're thinking, I need to get my club team, then I'll get into the international side. But would the big Ireland games, would that be in the back of your mind as something kind of to look forward to when those games came around?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think I'm actually glad that it's been the 5 months, because it's given the lads a little bit more exposure on a good note, which this group probably hasn't had enough of in recent times. So now you're seeing the lads, they're getting out and about, they're doing a little bit more media, now they're household names now. So I'm delighted for the lads, the group, what they've achieved. I think going back to the players, I think the players will be I'm only ever worried about themselves. That's the industry we're in. You need to be playing games. You need to be fit and healthy. You need to be in good form. There's obviously a few lads who were in the squad who possibly would have wanted more minutes under the belt and in the tank. But I don't know. It's something that you find once you put that green jersey on for the country and you go out and hear the anthem. Now it gives you a special boost and it grows you and makes you bigger and stronger. So I'm sure the lads who eventually get picked and the lucky ones, that they'll go out and give everything they can to get the right results. So
yeah, I suppose just on that, like you'd have played with Seamus Coleman, you'd have played with Robbie Brady. They're two players that haven't played a whole pile of football over the last couple of months, but are and have become, you know, really important parts of kind of him or Grimson's grand master plan. Obviously Brady missed the last camp through injury. Are you worried that they haven't played that much football, or is playing not playing much club football, does that actually matter at international level when you come into a camp like this?
Oh, I think it's different because you've only got a 3-4 day lead up to the game. Obviously Seamus was probably in the same spot he was in leading up to the November camp. Probably a little bit different for Robbie, who's been out a little bit longer. But again, like I said, once you put the jersey on, it's 90 minutes. You're going to give everything. So I wouldn't be too worried about how fit they are, because the crowd, the occasion will get you through that. It's again, how much good form they're in. It's can they produce what they've produced for the country on numerous occasions. With Robbie and with Shane, as you mentioned them too, just having them around the group, it'll be great for the lads, because they've been there and wore the jersey. They know what it feels like to qualify for tournaments and hope they can bring that little bit of experience to the lads who need it.
I suppose you were involved as a coach between the end of Stephen Kenny's era and the kind of the start of Hamerlough Grimson's era. What the likes of Robbie Brady, I don't know if Seamus Coleman kind of missed maybe a couple of camps and you were there.
No, we had Seamus in. Yeah. Seamus was in a couple. Yeah, I think Seamus wouldn't be a screamer or a shouter. What Seamus brings is what he does on the pitch. He's a leader of men and of how good he can be, rather than trying to drag people with his voice. I think you can only have to look at the time that I was involved to the group that Hoimer's picked over the last couple of camps. There's lads who've fallen away, but they've fallen away because they don't really know what it means to be in the Ireland jersey. They took it for granted a little bit, maybe. But what the group gave us in November was a group with belief and confidence that we can go out and get results. Listen, against Czech, we're not worried about performance, it's only the result. And again, speaking about what the lads have done and what camp I'd rather be in, it's this Ireland camp. You'd want Seamus around, you want Robbie around, but you want them in around to now go out and lead us to get the right result there, to get us into the next game for qualification.
Yeah, Hamerlough Grimson spoke today about his Czech counterpart Miroslav Kubek and the Czech squad, and that they're a big physical team, and he described it as it's going to be like a war type kind of a game. You're going to need people to win battles. It's going to be a lot about winning duels. Is maybe the best amount of football mightn't be played. It might just be about kind of getting the job done. Is that kind of what Seamus Coleman, Robbie Brady, I suppose the rest experienced players that even they're still a bit young, as in like Nathan Collins, Jake O'Brien, Darrow Shea, is that those are the type of players you rely on in these situations in a hostile environment?
Yeah, again, with Robbie and Seamus, the lads that you've mentioned there, they've been there, done that, they've worn the jersey, they know what it feels like in big stadiums, away stadiums, where the pressure's on you to go and get a result. There's a few others who probably haven't experienced that, but they've played in big games for the clubs. Speaking about Nathan, Quivins, obviously he's got European experience. What Jake O'Brien's doing now, there's not too many who want to try and get in a scrap with Jake, because now he can handle himself. Nathan can handle himself, what scales he's been doing. So if that's the case, now we're called the Fighting Irish for a reason. So if they want to bring it, now that wouldn't be anything I'm too worried about, because I know what the group's about and what they can do with, if anything. Now Czech need to find a different way.
Yeah, and those group of players as well, this is a chance for them to create history. Okay, Seamus Coleman and Robbie Brady have played at major tournaments before, but how hard is it to get to your first one? You were there in 2012 and 2016. Is there a psychological thing there you kind of have to get over to try and get to the major tournament?
Oh, I can't explain what it feels like, because there's no feeling like it. To qualify for a tournament, you see what it does for the nation. But now, for me personally, the only thing I was thinking about was how proud I've hopefully made my family and friends, and knowing that they're going to try and get to Poland, Ukraine, and they're going to try and get France to support me.
Yeah.
There's no better feeling. You only have to see with two games in November what it's given us for 5 months. I'm sick of seeing the Irish rugby tops out all the time. Now it's time to bring the football tops back out. And now I love seeing all the old school stuff that's been out recently, going back to obviously the 90 and then Italia 90 and then USA 94. Even that, for me, it's only, you have to look around the room behind me, and that brings back memories. So now, listen, this is that group's time to go and make a name for themselves. Seamus and Robbie have been there, but there's other big names you'd love to see, like Quivian, Nathan Collins, Troy, what he's done. There's other lads who hopefully deserve to now the touching distance of doing something special.
How hard is it to go to an away venue like I guess, a very good, quite a decent European nation at that and get a win and get a result.
Yeah, listen, you only treat it like another game for me. I remember, obviously, for us, going away to France for 2010, and obviously you couldn't have picked a worse place to go to, really, but on the 90 minutes we went out and got a result and beat them 1-0. But again, the lads have experienced it. They know what it feels like. It's who can handle the pressure more so on the night. But I'll go back to camp that I'd rather be in. We're on the crest of a wave. We've beat Portugal at home. We've then gone and backed it up, beating Hungary away. If the Czechs had a choice, I don't think they'd play Ireland. If they could physically go and pick a team, I don't think Ireland would be on their list. And we have to use that against them. They're at home, the pressure's on them, no one's expecting us to go and beat them, and we have to try and use that to our advantage.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Like, as in, I know the Czechs didn't have the greatest qualifying campaign. They dropped points against the Faroe Islands, who are turned out to be quite a decent team in one of their kind of better eras. There was the fallout between Thomas Souček and the captaincy as well. Obviously, have a new manager coming in. Is it hard to prepare? You kind of think about the unknown as well, because they don't really have a consistent run of games. So is that something that Ireland can use to their advantage?
No, I think from the outside, I'm sure obviously the homework's being done. Individual clips and what they've done for the club form and where they're playing and positionally what they've done. But I think the group and the camp will be all about Ireland. It'll be, what can we tweak to be better? What can we tweak to try and weaknesses in the Czech camp? If I was Heimer and his coaching staff, who I'm close to with John and Paddy, I think we'd be only worried about what we can do more so than what Czech can bring. Yes, you have to do your homework on certain individuals and what they might try and do, but I think the homework more so will be how tough it is for them and us, because now we've been two big nations before coming to beat, hopefully, Czech on Thursday.
Yeah, one player who won't be there is Josh Cullen, playing that kind of holding midfield role, something that you played in many's the time for Ireland as well. How much of a loss is he for, not just maybe for the team, but also, I guess, the style of play, that kind of, he's been an ever-present any time he's been available and fit and not suspended, he's always played. How hard is that for, one, for him or Hull Grimson as coaching staff to replace, and two, for the rest of the players in the team?
Yeah, I think Josh goes under the radar a little bit. Doesn't get the credit that he deserves, mainly obviously because it's a tough role. It's a role that I've played many a time. Hopefully we don't see how bad a miss he is if he's not there on Thursday with the injury that he's got. But you're just hoping there's enough. Obviously Alan Brown's got a good form, Middlesbrough, Jack's been playing well at Ipswich. Obviously Jason, West Brom, there's enough bodies, Knighty with Bristol. They've got games, they've got minutes under the tank, they've been in and around the squad, they know what it takes. Yeah, you're just hoping someone can now fill in the void, because I love Josh, I've loved playing with him, and you could see as a young kid coming through that he'd got a bit about him, because people look at him as in his size and stature and think, oh, no, he's not going to put do too much damage, but no, he's strong and he gets stuck in and you hear them more so when you're playing in and around them. So, now it's a real disappointment, I'm sure, for the manager that Josh is not available. Kicking the teeth for Josh, because he's been a mainstay for many a year. But yeah, you're just hoping that someone else can go and be the hero and fill the void.
Yeah, it's disappointing, because he actually started the season so well at Burnley as well. And yeah, he was captain of, he's captain of Burnley, and he was, Burnley were going well when he was in the team, and then he got injured and then Burnley's form dropped off. So it is a loss for Ireland for sure. There's one player I would like to ask you about though, and I'm not sure what you know about Boston Lawal. He obviously plays at one of your former clubs in Stoke City. He's been named in the graphic at least as one of the midfielders. He plays centre back, he's played right back and left back as well. He's played in a back three. Is that someone who could fill the midfield void?
Yeah, definitely. I've been tracking Boss for a long time. He played at Fleetwood, where I played myself, and now made his name there from coming down from Celtic. Obviously, Stoke have brought him in and paid quite a bit of money for him. Things just haven't quite gone right for him, as in injury-wise. But I think he's also been unfortunate that he's that good that I think he's played in every position for Stoke, bar maybe left wing.
Yeah.
He's played both fullbacks, he's played centre half. They've put him up top at one stage. He's a giant of a man. If he can stay fit and stay healthy, he's going to be a real mainstay for Ireland in the future. is the game against Czech, I think, would be a risk with him because he hasn't played. There's probably one or two more that are ahead of him. But listen, if you were to throw Boss in, what he's got a calmness about him. I don't think anything phases him. He's laid back. He'll take it and he'll destroy it. So if he's called upon, I'm sure he'll do an unbelievable job. For him, I think he'd love to play. He'd love to be in that position. And now, please God, touch wood that now he comes through the weekend and now everything's okay for. It'll give the manager a headache to be thinking about in 2-3 days training before the game.
How hard is it to come back after a kind of an injury layoff and go straight back into a team, especially like a top level game as well?
Yeah, no, listen, I've said it already. I think it's once you put the green jersey on, it gives you an extra step. It gives you, I don't know, an extra lung or fills your tank up a little bit. I think if it was a league game to get through 90 to go again, you'd probably question it, but there's no bigger games than a playoff for the World Cup. So again, like I said, if he gets minutes over the weekend for Stoke, I think they actually play tomorrow night.
Yeah.
If he can get some minutes in, get a training session in over the weekend, and I'll be fit and ready to go come Thursday. It just gives another option for the manager to think about.
Yeah. As well, obviously we're going to have Troy Parrott involved as well. He's in electric form. He's been linked with clubs all over Europe, all over clubs in the Premier League as well. You would have played obviously with Robbie Keane and Damien Duff and numerous Irish players in red hot form as well. How much of a boost as well is that to have someone coming into the squad that's at the top of their game and a real threat to every opposition that you're going to play?
No, it's great for Troy what he's done, especially going to a foreign country and playing his trade and what he's doing. What was the last 12 months? Now it's been unbelievable. I'm actually delighted for him because you've mentioned the name, and not just him. There's been strikers over the years who've obviously been in the shadows of the great Robbie Keane, and now Troy is hopefully making his own name, and now he's making his own chapter for Ireland and what he's done. Now listen, he's banging form. He's scoring goals. He's scoring all types of goals. I'm sure the Czechs are going to be more worried about Troy than Troy is of the centre-halves, because there's something different with strikers. They love scoring goals, and that's what Troy does. Any chance he sort of gets, you know he's going to try and put away. If it's taking a shot, if it's running in behind, he's a nuisance, he's a menace. And it's a real knack that Troy's got, that Robbie got. They just love scoring goals. If it's training, if it's shooting practice, whatever it might be. And now he's got the bit between the teeth, his teeth, Roy, and now long may it continue for Ireland, but for himself, because he's deserved it, because he's had a few loans in England which probably didn't quite work out. He got a big name, big price tag that he had to go and fill, and he's done that now. He's, like I said, he's stepping out of hopefully Robbie's shadow and now making his own chapter, because he's a proper threat and a proper goal scorer, which now we need at this time.
How hard is it to kind of, I guess, make that transition from being a very good young player and trying to break through in a first team, in a Premier League team? Obviously, you're at Manchester City at the start of your career. How hard is it to, you know, I guess, find your place within the kind of the football landscape?
Yeah, it's tough, because unless you're extra special, the likes of like Harry Kane or Wayne Rooney, when they come on, they boost on the scene. I think it's more difficult for a striker, because you need to hit the ground running and score goals ultimately, because that's what you're proving on. Troy went out. I'm only thinking back, I remember watching Troy at Preston, but he played off the left, he played off the right. He didn't have a manager that could see what he could do down the middle. And that's where Troy needs to be. He needs to be in between the goal. He can run in behind, he can come short, he can score all types of goals. Where it's probably taken him a move to go and be his own man. Probably go out to Holland, where probably no one really knew who he was when he first went out there, to now being now the biggest and brightest prospect in Holland. So for himself, he works tremendously hard. He plays a lot of games. He scores a lot of goals. And ultimately, for a striker, that's what now the hardest thing to do is. So again, long may it continue for Troy, because now we for us, for Ireland going forward to qualify for the World Cup, to qualify for European Championships, we need Troy, we need Evan, we need people scoring goals, and that's what he brings.
Yeah, just I suppose there's been a couple of injury doubts over Adam Eda. Obviously, Evan Ferguson's ruled out with injury as well. So the striking positions, we don't have a lot of options. There was the rumour, let's say, I don't know, of Dave McGoldrick being recalled to the squad, someone who you would have played with. Would you have made that call and brought him in? He's 38 years old, but he's still banging goals in at League One.
Yeah, no, listen, I played with Dizzy. Dizzy's a great fella. He's one of the best you'll come around. Obviously stepped back from Ireland when I was playing for family reasons, and probably wasn't getting enough game time for himself. Listen, what he's done for Barnsley over the last 12 months with the goals that he's done has been unbelievable. Do I think it would have been a step too far? Possibly, yes. I think it's a big level up from League One to playing playoff international football. And for me, if Didzi comes onto the pitch for Ireland, it's Ireland's chasing the game.
Yeah,
it's the only way I can see Didzi coming on. So, listen, there's a weekend of fixtures. You'll never say never. I'm sure Didzi will have that conversation with the manager, the coaching staff. If called upon, he'd come in and do an unbelievable job. But I think it probably a little bit a step too far. But listen, another one, if Didzi came in around the camp, he'd be a great fella because he's a smashing lad.
Yeah.
Everyone's got loads of time for him because he's a cracker.
Didzi. Yeah. Everyone said, anyone that you ever meet that speaks about David McGoldrick has so much time for him. And yeah, like it's just a pity maybe we didn't get more use out of him in his earlier 20s,
yeah.
And stuff.
I can only just think back vaguely off, you know what I mean? It was a different era. What Didzi brings, he was more of a 10, a playmaker. He'll drop in, he'll make things happen. We actually, funnily enough, I watched the game against Wigan through the week. Barnsley wasn't great on the night, but he's still involved in the equaliser. He's dropping into pockets. He has the shot, the keeper makes a save and a rebound. I think he's having it off. He's found his love for football because he's gone back to Notts County, which was his home team. Wanted to finish out his career then and gets an extra step and gets another move back up a league. So, now listen, Didzi's a cracker. He's having a great season. But it's probably just a little bit too much of a step up from League One to go into. If it was a group game, you'd bring him in. I think just for the game alone, probably a step too far.
Yeah. You just mentioned Wigan there. You were stepped in interim charge while for the FA Cup game against Arsenal. How did you find that?
Love the experience. It was something, obviously, that was brought on only a matter of days beforehand. But after half an hour, no, that would have changed. I thought I was having a stroke or a meltdown when we were 4-0 down. The only thing I can take from it is how they scored the goals. It's what we've tried to work on to try and stop. Unfortunately, we just couldn't do that on the day. And it's not great when Mikel Arteta's making subs at half time where Saka comes off and he brings on Gorkiez.
Yeah.
I was hoping he'd bring on a few kids and settle a few things down.
Yeah.
But the lads done great. If there's any sort of no win from that is that we drew the second half. And they didn't bring on kids, they brought on players that wanted to go and try and score. And from my own experience it was great. It was something that I wasn't expecting. And now things change. It's football and I'm itching now to get back in for whatever opportunity comes around.
So where would you like to go? Like the League of Ireland here obviously has been a place where some Irish coaches have developed, and obviously you're based over in the UK and you played your entirety of your career over in the UK as well. So where would you like to go?
I've no real options. I'm not going to close anything off. Listen, you only have to look at what Robbie's done over the last few years. Robbie's had to step out of the UK to try and make his name for himself in the coaching and managing. Now his stock couldn't be any higher. Now if it was the right project, come back to Ireland. Now I'd be open to that also. Now listen, I love my wife and kids, and I'm sure they'll want me to be close. But unfortunately, the industry that we're in, things don't work out like that. So yeah, now I'm itching to get back in for the right opportunity to try and learn. If that's as a coach, then so be it. But now at some stage further down the track, maybe get in the hot seat somewhere if possible.
Yes. You still want to be a manager then? You don't want to... You've had a taste of punditry and managing, and you still have that ambition to be...
I'm a terrible punter.
Don't say that.
I put my foot in it. When I get on there, I still think I'm playing. The coaching, I'm obviously been speaking quite a bit of... I only finished playing 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So from what I've done in 3 years on the coaching side, being down at Bristol into Wigan, then promoted to assistant head coach... It was probably not something that I couldn't have dreamed of so quick. But it was all learning. It was all the experience that I've got to. Do I need to learn more, possibly? Could I step in and be a manager? I think so. But you never know until you get in there. Like I said, it has to be the right opportunity. But I'm desperate to just get back on the grass and try and learn and try and get on the ladder and get to the top if possible.
Yeah, well, Keith Andrews used to sit in this seat. You used to sit in that seat as well.
And now we've been speaking about what a job Keith's done. He's been unbelievable. And Robbie and Damien over the last few years, and Stephen, Bradshaw, Shamrock. It's great for those Irish people and getting exposure all over the world and showing people that now what we can do as players, as coaches, as managers. And now Keith's been a credit because nobody out there gave him a chance. Everyone had him favourite to be sacked, favourites to go down.
Yeah.
So if anyone comes out and says that, they backed him, the lawyers, because they wouldn't have gave him a hope. And obviously he's got Roycer in there as well with him. So now it's great. And obviously going back to Barnsley with Connor, with Brian Barry Murphy down at Cardiff, there's a few of us. So hopefully...
There's a real generation there of young Irish coaches. It's actually quite something to be proud of as Irish people, but also quite excited by as well, I think.
I think you just need a chance. I think that's what's happened. I think obviously Keith got given a chance. Obviously was in around the club at the time, and what Brentford do and what they have done for years is recruit from within. So the people in there that seen something in Keith, or come across Keith when he's coaching with the 21s, with the senior team, now he's got a real influence on where he sees himself and where it's going. And like I said, with Bradshaw and Damien and winning leagues, and I think for them too, it was great from the outside seeing, because he brought a real fiery concept to what League of Ireland should be.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping it's healthy.
Mm.
And now we've got the Irish League back on the map, and listen, that's all we all want. A special mention now to Joey, because Joey's a mate of mine, and now he's got big shoes to fill because of what Duffer's done. So now it's good for everybody.
Yeah, it's been great. Like the attendances are through the roof. The excitement in the League of Ireland every week has been brilliant. We've live commentaries every week. It's been great. Like and Damien Duff and more, and Joey O'Brien, Stephen Kenny, Stephen Bradley have all driven that as well.
Yeah, no, it's been great. I've always been a fan of League of Ireland because of obviously where I come from. So the Friday nights is always trying to get some sort of highlights or get it on. I think what Damien and what Stephen done at their time, it was going back to like Wenger, Alex Ferguson times in Ireland. Like I said, it was great from the sidelines. I hope it was healthy competition. Mm. I was bringing a real feistiness, but it got people interested, and that's what we need to do for the League of Ireland, for the youth Ireland team, is to show what we've got, because I don't think there's enough exposure of young Irish players in League of Ireland, what they can do. There's a little bit more exposure now with getting into Europe and into the conference leagues and stuff like that, but it's tough, and now we can just be as good as other nations.
Yeah, I like the future of the Irish team. Victor Osimhuna, Michael Noonan, Mason Melia, they've all been in the league now, so
I was lucky to work with both Mason and Michael with the under-16s with Paul O'Sam, and even then you could tell that they had a chance. Mason, I'd say, is probably a little bit more of a team player. He can do a bit of everything, whereas Michael's just a goal scorer.
Yeah.
Again, just loves scoring goals. All he done was take penalties and free kicks. All he wanted to do was extras.
Yeah.
And even at that age, when he was coming through, so he's got a knack for a goal, and long may it continue.
Yeah, no, it's exciting times. But just before I let you go, predictions for the game against Czechia, and then are we going to the World Cup?
I think it's going to be tight. I think the playoff games are, but I can only see now one result, and that's the Ireland coming out on top on the Thursday night. We'll worry about the second game once Thursday's done.
Glenn, thanks very much for coming in to chat to us today. And just to remind you, we're celebrating an expanding Off the Ball partnership with Cadbury's, delivering bigger international coverage across the men's and women's teams. Fresh podcast content, and of course, the return of Coigig and the advent of the green scene. Glenn, thanks very much.
Cheers, thanks for having me.
Irish Football
on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams.
This is News Talk.